And he talked about the observable universe. So I guess that means that there's a part of the universe we can see and part that's so far away we can't even see it. So the universe is a big thing. So welcome. And I'm going to talk about a few missions today. The Cassini mission, which is ready for its final grand finale at Saturn. It's going to dive into Saturn and crash into Saturn, dive in between the rings and the planet. And I'm also going to talk about the New Horizons mission. As you may recall, last year it flew by Pluto. Didn't stay very long, but it took a lot of pictures, and it's processing still a lot of the pictures that were going to be sent back. So it revealed so much about Pluto that we didn't know. So let's start with that one, Pluto. It's an article dated April 3rd, so that is Monday. It says, New Horizons halfway from Pluto to next flyby target. So remember, these spacecrafts, when they fly to Saturn or Pluto or some of that, it's very far away. It takes a long time, like 7, 8, or 10 years to get there. But New Horizons is continuing. It's going to study things in the Kuiper Belt. So what's the Kuiper Belt? In a way, it's like the asteroid belt. The asteroid belt is between Mars and Jupiter, and it's got asteroids. The Kuiper Belt has comas and other bodies, rocky, icy bodies, and it's going to examine some of these in the Kuiper Belt. So where is our New Horizons spacecraft going next? Now I'm going to start reading the article. It's dated April 3rd, 2017, and the title of the article is New Horizons Halfway from Pluto to Next Flyby Target. And again, you can access this on www.nasa.gov. NASA, so NASA.gov. You may be www.nasa.gov. You may have to look for it a bit because NASA has a lot of articles. But anyway, this one is titled New Horizons Halfway from Pluto to Next Flyby Target. How time and our spacecraft fly, especially when you're making history at 32,000 miles or 51,500 kilometers per hour. Continuing on its path through the outer regions of the solar system, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft has now traveled half the distance from Pluto, its storied first target, to 2014 MU69, the Kuiper Belt object. It's called KBO, K for Kuiper, B for Belt, O object. It will fly past on January 1st, 2019. The spacecraft reached that milestone at midnight on April 3rd or 8 p.m. Eastern Time on April 2nd, when it was 486 million miles or 782 million kilometers beyond Pluto and the same distance from MU69. And so says Alan Stern, the New Horizons principal investigator from the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado. And quote, oh, some page came up. I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. It's fantastic to have completed half the distance, half the journey to our next flyby. That flyby will set the record for the most distant world ever explored in the history of our civilization. And later this week at 2124 UTC or 524 p.m. Eastern Time on April 7th, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, New Horizons will also reach the halfway point in time between the closest approach to Pluto, which occurred at 7:48 a.m. Eastern Time on July 14th, 2015, and MU69, predicted for 2 a.m. Eastern Time on New Year's Day 2019. The nearly five-day difference between the halfway markers of distance and time is due to the gravitational tug of the Sun. The spacecraft is actually getting slightly slower as it pulls away from the Sun's gravity, so the spacecraft crosses the midpoint in distance a bit before it passes the next midpoint in time. And there's a nice picture here. It says a KBO among the stars. It shows a Kuiper Belt object in preparation for the New Horizons flyby of 2014 MU69 on January 1st, 2019. The spacecraft's long-range reconnaissance imager, or LORI, took a series of 10-second exposures of the background star field near the location of its target Kuiper Belt object. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if a human was on board? This composite image is made from 45 of these 10-second exposures taken on January 28, 2017. The yellow diamond marks the predicted location of MU69 on approach, but the Kuiper Belt object itself was too far from the spacecraft, 544 million miles, even for LORI's telescope eye to detect. New Horizons expects to start seeing MU69 with LORI in September of 2018, so that's more than a year, about a year and a half from now. And the team will use these newly acquired images of the background field to help prepare for that search on approach. I wonder why they chose MU 2014 MU69. I'm wondering why. It might tell us later. Okay. Later this week. Oh, sorry, I read that. And now I'm going to scroll down. So give me a second. Ready for a rest. New Horizons will begin a period of hibernation later this week. In fact, the spacecraft will be sleeping through the April 7th halfway timing marker to MU69 because mission operators at the Johns Hopkins Applied Laboratory, APL in Laurel, Maryland, will have put the spacecraft into hibernation 2 hours beforehand. The scheduled 150-day hibernation is well-deserved. And I remember to Pluto and to Saturn, a lot of these spacecrafts go into hibernation. And even that comet they studied last year, they go into hibernation like a bear. New Horizons has been awake for almost 2.5 years, since December 6, 2014. Since then, in addition to its historic Pluto encounter and 16 subsequent months of relaying the data from that encounter back to Earth, New Horizons had made breakthrough distance observations of a Kuiper Belt object, collected new data on the dust and charged particle environment of the Kuiper Belt, and studied the hydrogen gas that permeates the vast space surrounding the sun, called the heliosphere. So I guess we could say that the whole solar system is the sun's atmosphere. Yes, that's true. So says Hal Weaver, a New Horizons project scientist from the APL, which is the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado, and, quote, "The January 2019 MU69 flyby is the next big event for us, but New Horizons is truly a mission to more broadly explore the Kuiper Belt. In addition to MU69, we plan to study more than 24 other Kuiper Belt objects in the distance and measure the charged particle and dust environment all the way across the Kuiper Belt." So remember, when we're talking to these spacecraft, not we, when they're talking to these spacecraft, they are, takes a long time to relay the data. New Horizons is currently 3.5 billion miles, or 5.7 billion kilometers from Earth. At that distance, a radio signal sent from the operations team and traveling at light speed needs about 5 hours and 20 minutes to reach the spacecraft. All spacecraft systems are healthy and operate normally, and the spacecraft is on its course for its MU69 flyby. That must be incredible to be working with that. Okay, now here's another article. Let's read this one. NASA-funded website lets public search for new nearby worlds. This article is dated February 15, 2017. NASA is inviting the public to search for possible undiscovered worlds in the outer reaches of our solar system and in neighboring interstellar space. A new website called Backyard World, Planet 9, lets everyone participate in the search by viewing brief moves made from images captured by NASA's Wide Field Infrared Surveyor Telescope, or WISE, mission. The movie highlights objects that have gradually moved across the sky. So says researcher Mark Kuchner, an astrophysicist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and, quote, "There are just over 4 light years between Neptune and Proxima Centauri, the nearest star, and much of this vast territory is unexplored. Because there's so little sunlight, even large objects in that region barely shine in visible light. But by looking in the infrared, WISE may have imaged objects we otherwise would have missed." WISE scanned the entire sky between 2010 and 2011, producing the most comprehensive survey at mid-infrared wavelengths currently available. With the completion of its primary mission, WISE was shut down in 2011. It was then reactivated in 2013 and given a new mission assisting NASA's efforts to identify potentially hazardous near-Earth objects, or NEOs, which are asteroids and comets on orbits that bring them into the vicinity of Earth orbits. The mission was renamed the Near Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer NEOWISE. Yes, it would not be a pleasant day if one of these objects hit us. So, what do we do now? How about taking a break? After the break, we'll talk about more about astronomy and science. So, this is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
Time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Let's do some quick yes or no questions. Are the following things technically possible? Life on other planets, is that theoretically possible?
Yes.
Okay, what about a Schwarzschild wormhole?
Yes.
Okay, what about this? Me going on a date with Charlize Theron?
No.
What, not at all? In no universe?
No.
In none of the infinite universes does that happen?
No.
It's completely beyond the bounds of scientific possibility, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Quick follow-up question. In any of those potential universes, am I the one rejecting her, and that's why it doesn't work out?
No. You do realize that typing your response is difficult for me, correct?
Okay, sure, yeah. It's just I'm trying to play this out because I'm just trying to see if there was any hypothetical hope.
No.
It doesn't matter. But never say never. Okay, if time travel were possible, would you want to go back in time and refuse to do this interview?
Yes.
You truly are an incredibly smart man. Stephen Hawking, thank you so much for your time. You've stated that you believe there could be an infinite number of parallel universes. Does that mean that there is a universe out there where I am smarter than you?
Yes, and also a universe where you're funny.
Okay, all right. Look, if you're so smart, what number am I thinking
13.
Of? It was 13. I was thinking of 13. Okay, that was a lucky guess. What am I thinking right now?
That you've been a huge disappointment to your family.
I wasn't thinking that.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I
breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds big, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're
you know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
From a Gucci in the winter, I see you with your girl, sport, in your chin
sheets of the fur. I was laid up in the coupe back seat, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I see none. So I hopped out the coupe and hopped the super stopping. Introduced like I'm shining. You my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you. Perfume down to your structure. Think I wait till a second.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up a disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird cannot taste the curve, girl, put your ass and the thumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see a head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back. Take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. Scream with the neighbors.
Welcome back. This is Marco on CITR 101.9 Astro Talk. Just searching my email. I emailed Trina Ray for those loyal listeners. If there's any of them. Trina Ray is a... He's an astrophysicist at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. She worked on the Voyager mission. The Voyager 1 is now outside of the solar system. And then now she's working on the Cassini mission, the grand finale, where the spacecraft will dive in between Saturn and the rings and crash land into Saturn. Well, how does it crash land? Because Saturn is a gas planet. But anyway, what happens, it burns up in the atmosphere. So that's what they call a crash land. So I'm going to read a little bit about this crash landing that's going to happen soon. Okay, so it's on April 4th, 2017 on NASA.gov, the website www.nasa.gov. The title of the article is NASA's Cassini Mission Prepares for Grand Finale at Saturn. And there's an illustration, and it shows, says, this illustration shows NASA's Cassini spacecraft above Saturn's northern hemisphere prior to one of its 22 grand finale dives. So it's had grand finale dives where it's practicing and it's looking at things. Okay, I'm going to read the article now. NASA's Cassini spacecraft, in orbit around Saturn since 2004, is about to begin the final chapter of its remarkable story. On Wednesday, April 26, which is... maybe 3 weeks from now, a bit less than 3 weeks from now, the spacecraft will make the first in a series of dives through the 1,500-mile-wide or 2,400-kilometer-wide gap between Saturn and its ring as part of the mission's grand finale. So remember, as I told you, I emailed Trina Ray. She's a NASA mission scientist. She's a specialist at JPL working on the mission. She is now on holiday, or she went to a conference, so... there was a message that said, I'm not here, but I'll be back soon. So hopefully I can talk to her soon. Where am I? Okay. So says Thomas Zurbichen, an associate administrator for the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington, and quote, no spacecraft has ever gone through the unique region that we'll attempt to boldly cross 22 times. What we learn from Cassini's daring final orbits will further our understanding of how giant planets and planetary systems everywhere form and evolve. This is truly discovery in action to the very end. During its time at Saturn, Cassini has made numerous dramatic discoveries, including a global ocean that shows indications of hydrothermal activity within the icy moon Enceladus and liquid methane seas on its moon Titan. So I think our Trina Ray, the wonderful scientist, she is working on Titan, so I'll talk to her hopefully soon about it. Now, 20 years since launching from Earth, and after 13 years orbiting the ring planet, Cassini is running low on fuel. In 2010, NASA decided to end the mission with a purposeful plunge into Saturn this year in order to protect and preserve the planet's moons for future exploration, especially the potentially habitable Enceladus. It would be strange to live on Enceladus, and then what happens on Enceladus? There's geysers, so water sprouts up. Imagine standing there, and all of a sudden a jet of water under your feet sprouts up and sends you flying. That wouldn't be fun. But the beginning of the end for Cassini is, in many ways, like a whole new mission. Using expertise gained over the mission's many years, Cassini's engineers designed a flight plan that will maximize the scientific value of sending the spacecraft towards its fateful plunge into the planet on September 15th. As it ticks off its terminal orbits during the next 5 months, the mission will rack up an impressive list of scientific achievements. So says Linda Spiker, Cassini project scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, in Pasadena, California, and quote, "This planned conclusion for Cassini's journey was far and away the preferred choice for the mission scientists. Cassini will make some of its most extraordinary observations at the end of its long life," end quote. The mission team hopes to gain powerful insights into the planet's internal structure and the origins of the rings, obtain the first ever sampling of Saturn's atmosphere and particles coming from the main rings, and capture the closest ever views of Saturn's clouds and inner rings. The team currently is making final checks on the list of commands the robotic probe will follow to carry out its science observation, called a sequence, as it begins the finale. That sequence is scheduled to be uploaded to the spacecraft on Tuesday, April 11th, which is coming soon. It's about 5 days from now. Cassini will transition to its grand finale orbits with a last close flyby of Saturn's giant moon Titan on Saturday, April 22nd. So remember, Titan has a thick atmosphere. It's hard to see through with telescopes, but when they were on Saturn with Cassini, they could use radar and other things, and they send an orbiter into there. They found a lot of methane lakes, methane sea, river, canyons, methane rain, a lot of cool stuff. And scientists, I believe, said that Earth a few billion years ago could have been just like Titan. And then Earth evolved into the livable planet it is now. So Cassini will transition to its grand finale orbits with a last close flyby of Saturn's giant moon Titan on Saturday, April 22nd. As it has many times over the course of the mission, Titan's gravity will bend Cassini's flight path. Cassini's orbit then will shrink so that instead of making its closest approach to Saturn just outside the ring, it will begin passing between the planet and the inner edges of its rings. So imagine they've been up there for 13 years, and it took quite a few years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years to get there. So this thing has been flying for 20 years. It's quite amazing, isn't it? And I guess it'll be a sad goodbye when you scientists like Trina Ray, they pour their heart into this thing. They live it. That's all they think about. Well, one of the only things they think about. They're so involved in this, and then imagine it just coming to an end. What they'll have is the great memories and all the amazing science that they've gleaned from this project. So I will continue on with the article. I have a quote, and I can't quite see who's making the quote, so I gotta go down. Excuse me about that. So says Earl Mays, Cassini project manager at JPL, which is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Based on our best models, we expect the gap to be clear of particles large enough to damage the spacecraft. But we're also being cautious by using our large antenna as a shield on the first pass, as we determine whether it's safe to expose the scientific instruments to the environment on future passes. Certainly, there are some unknowns, but that's one of the reasons we're doing this kind of daring exploration at the end of the mission, and end quote. In mid-September, following a distant encounter with Titan, the spacecraft's path will be bent so that it dives into the planet. When Cassini makes its final plunge into Saturn's atmosphere on September 15th, it will send data from several instruments, most notably data on the atmosphere's composition until its signal is lost. So says Linda Spiker again, and quote, "Cassini's grand finale is so much more than a final plunge. Like I was saying, it's a big thing, 20 years, wow. It's a thrilling final chapter for our intrepid spacecraft, and so scientifically rich that it was clear and obvious choice for how to end the mission," and end quote. So imagine that you have a mission that is 20 years. It was 13 years up there, but 7 years to travel. So they were still working on that, and there was lots of planning that went into this thing. So imagine there's 25, 30 years of human effort that went into this great thing. And Imagine when it plunges, there could be a lot of tears being shed. Okay, the Cassini's Huygens mission. So the Huygens spacecraft, that's a small little spacecraft which sometimes detaches and flies around, like into Titan. So the Cassini-Huygens mission is a cooperative project of NASA, the ESA, which is the European Space Agency, and the ISA, the Italian Space Agency. GPL manages the mission for NASA Sciences Mission Directorate. GPL designed, developed, and assembled the Cassini orbiter. One of my friends was telling me there's a large number of Italian scientists working at CERN, and there's a large number of Italian scientists working at the Triumph thing here. So Italy has its own space agency, so it looks like Italy is doing very well in science and astronomy. So we'll keep up to date, and hopefully when I receive my email from Tina Ray, as I mentioned, she is on some conference. She will be back soon. Hopefully I get her email soon, but she'll be busy, but I hope she'll find time, and as she graciously did last time. More information about Cassini is available at www.nasa.gov/Cassini. So that's C-A-S-S-I-N-A. Well, thank you for listening. I enjoyed this show. Like always, I guess I love astronomy, so I enjoy every show. So thank you for listening. Hopefully next week I'll have more to tell you, and I hope to get Michelle Kunimoto. Maybe she's doing exams. I said I was going to get her in, but I just haven't contacted her, and that is my fault. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to AstroTalk on CRTR 101, and now I'm going to put it over to Manuel and some music. Sports should be on soon, so thank you for listening.